What's up, guys? Rick here with your DFS preview for this week's RSM Classic, and I have a couple of announcements right out of the gate that you're probably not going to want to miss. I've been asked a couple of times about whether there is a promotion for rickrungood.com this week. Historically, the last couple of years, I've run a promo. This event, the last event of the fall, in which you can get a percentage off depending on what the winning score is, and it is the only promotion that I run ever. I don't do sales. I don't do promo codes. I don't do coupons. I don't do clearance. I don't do anything like that because I think the service is very fairly priced and it makes me happy to not have to deal with that. So I'm going to tell you, no, that promo is not happening this year. Last year, I was pretty clear that it was going to be the last year. It is a logistical nightmare, but more than that, Mina and I sat down this year and we were trying to figure out, is it possible? What can we do? And we could not really, with the way the system is set up, we really couldn't ensure that existing users would get the same deal as new users without bumping them up to the new pricing, which I put into place last January 1st. And because I couldn't protect the current users, I didn't think it was very fair. I hate that. I hate the idea that current users would not get access to the same thing as new users. So we're not going to do it. And you know, there's always, like, if you sign up for rickrungood.com today, it's basically always the best price you're going to be able to get, right? Because you're always grandfathered into whatever price that you signed up with as long as you stay active. So there are still people who pay a fraction of the cost because I think that's the right thing to do. Additionally, if you did take advantage of the promo from last year, you still have access to that pricing moving forward, or at least the full pricing at the time you signed up. I've been very fair about this, I think. I've only raised prices once in the last 4 years. I try to protect the existing users as much as possible. And as much as I would love to do a promo and gamble with you guys a little bit, it just didn't make sense this year. Maybe we'll be able to figure out something in the future. That's number one. Number two is I'll be at the Netflix Cup on Tuesday, which is at the Wynn. It's the F1 and the Full Swing golfers from Netflix playing in a live event. If you're out there or if you're hanging around Vegas and you see me, say hello. Looking forward to getting out. We'll be bopping around a little bit. And then finally, this is the last event of the FedEx Cup fall, but there is a DP World Tour Championship this week as well. There is the Hero World Challenge coming up in 2 weeks. The European Tour goes nuts. They basically have two events each of the first 2 weeks of their schedule in the last 2 weeks of November. So there's a lot of golf that will still be through rickrungood.com. I'll do as much content as I possibly can, but also use this time to really make some updates to the website. Okay, apologize. I know that was long-winded out of the gate, but let's not waste any more time. Let's jump into it for this week. It is a two-course rotation at the RSM Classic. So they're going to play one round at the Seaside Course on the Sea Island Resort. They're going to play one round at the Plantation Course. They're going to make a cut, and then whoever survives the cut will play the final two rounds at the Seaside Course. That is the host course. This is a beautiful resort. I was down there last year. I wanted to go again this year. I had planned to go again this year, but I had some stuff on the West Coast pop up that unfortunately I had to choose. Three big events were happening at the same time, and unfortunately trekking across the country wasn't the one for me, but I hope to get back to the RSM Classic soon. Great event. Now, what you'll see from this model on rickrungood.com is historically accurate drivers have really found their way to the top of the leaderboard. This is not anything more than looking at all the stats that are available on the PGA Tour, looking at all the finishing positions for everybody at the RSM Classic and saying, what do they have in common? And the accurate drivers of the golf ball is the one that stands out. It's six. That means there's only five other courses in which driving accuracy is more important. And then you look at some of the noisier stats, but when you look at all the noisy stats and they kind of have a similar vibe to them, a similar theme to them, you can start to put that together as well. So here are some of the top three stats. We already talked about driving accuracy, but distance from edge of fairway, that's an accuracy stat. Left rough tendency, that's an accuracy stat. Right rough tendency, that's an accuracy stat. So you're getting basically three or four stats right out of the gate that say play out of the fairway. And if you're not going to play out of the fairway, play as close to it as possible. You know, you can start to get into some dog legs, some overhanging tree limbs, some tricky situations where water comes into play. It is absolutely about playing out of the fairway. And then you'll see some short approach shots, some putting numbers. That's kind of the vibe that we get most fall. And a lot of times on the PGA Tour, it's what we're going to get this week. Historically, the Plantation course, which is a par 72, will play about two and a half shots under par. The Seaside course, which is a par 70, will play about one stroke under par. So they'll both play to 69-ish, something like that. But one's a par 70, one is a par 72. So your scoring, your low rounds generally going to come from that Plantation course. If you have an opportunity to get first round leaders where your book doesn't split out the two courses for some reason, probably going to come from the Plantation course. If you have an opportunity to and you're playing showdown, you might want to help yourself out with a little bit of the Plantation side as well, because generally that is where a lot of the scoring comes from. If you look at those numbers, last 36 rounds, and run it into the adjusted course fit, it's basically the perfect spot for JT Poston. Now, his history around this place is a little bit of a mixed bag. We'll get to that in a second. But his course fit, his adjusted fit, which does not even care about his course history, says this place sets up better for him than anybody else. He gets about a half a stroke per round boost based on his skill sets. Ludvig Åberg as well. I actually think this is a pretty good spot for him considering he's long and straight. So if he can be straight and play from closer in than everybody else, and also he's probably the best player in this field, that's very scary, scary stuff. Brian Harman, Russell Henley, Eric Cole rounding out the top five and guys that get a good adjusted fit number. Probably no surprise there, right? These are names that you would expect to have good success at the RSM Classic, a golf course that relies on a lot of accuracy, some wedge play, some putting. Like these are your golfers. This does not take into account at all, doesn't care at all about course history. This is strictly course fit, because obviously some of these guys haven't played this event before, but they're still able to have a nice adjusted fit number. The cheat sheet, here we go. So three golfers over $10,000, Ludvig Åberg, Cameron Young, Brian Harman. I've already alluded a little bit to Ludvig, who I think is probably just the best player in this field. If you look at the power rankings over the last 36 rounds, he is basically by far the best player in this field. He's gaining about two strokes per round. If you go and look at his results, it's nothing but green squares and beauty, right? Since the Wyndham Championship, T14 there, he has not finished worse than that in any of his last seven or eight starts. That includes playing well at the Ryder Cup as well. He had a win in there on the European Tour. He has played this event once. He must have played it as an amateur in 2021 because he just turned pro like 6 months ago. He missed the cut. Don't care about that at all. I think Ludvig Åberg is the best player. I think that he has proven to me specifically that he is capable of playing well on a lot of different golf courses. He's not boxed into the type of golf course, and this course probably skews better for him than a couple of other places on the schedule do. Next up is Cam Young, who I am not nearly as bullish on. And you look at the stat profile here. We've only seen him once since his playoff run ended at the BMW Championship. He did not make it to the Tour Championship. He just stumbled to the finish line last year, losing strokes on approach in three straight. And then to kick off his fall schedule, he finished T54 in Cabo, which, I mean, that's a pretty disaster result if you're Cam Young. I mean, he was one of the favorites to win that event. He was easily one of the best two or three players in that field. He was priced at 10,900. So he was, you know, priced in a way that you're expecting a lot. And he finished T54. Is this more of the same bad play? You know, Cam Young, historically, if you look at his runs, he's a pretty streaky guy. And he'll play well for 6 to 8 weeks in a row, and he'll pile up a bunch of really great finishes. And then he'll struggle for 6 or 8 weeks, and you get some miscuts and some T57s and stuff like that. I think we're kind of in one of those down turns right here, and I worry about him kind of putting it together in Sea Island, at least in terms of paying the price when you get Ludvig Åberg at 10-9 and then Brian Harman at 10-3. So Harman's also another interesting guy. I think this is going to be his 11th trip. His 12th trip to Sea Island. Obviously ties to the area. He finished runner up last year. He finished T4 in 2017. He doesn't have a lot of great results outside of that. You know, he's missed the cut a couple of times, some T40s, some T60s, nothing particularly special, but the special stuff is what he's done since the Travelers Championship, right? So one finish worse than T12 since the Travelers Championship. It was a T31 at the FedEx St. Jude. I guess the Tour Championship was pretty bad as well. 23rd out of 30 golfers, but, you know, he's got the win at the Open Championship, the T12, the Scottish Open, the T9 at the Rocket Mortgage. And then, you know, we saw the course fit numbers. If you're going to need to play out of the fairway, if you're going to need to hit your wedges well, if you're going to need to putt well, that's basically the blueprint for Brian Harman. So pretty bullish on both Ludvig and Harman here. Probably going to be a little bit down on Cameron Young, obviously, as the projected ownership starts to come out and we get to, you know, the live chat Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern time on the Rick Run Good YouTube channel. There's a lot of other things that we can discuss when we get there. But right now, early on a Monday, feels like Ludvig, feels like Brian Harman. The 9K range, this is where you just pile up a lot of those, like, you know, if I were to tell you JT Poston won the RSM Classic, or Corey Connors, or Russell Henley, or Alex Noren, or Eric Cole, or like Matt Kuchar, I know he's $8,900. You'd be 0% surprised if any of these guys won. They're just the blueprint for this golf course and for an event of this caliber is basically these guys. The one most interesting is Corey Connors. Remember him? We have not seen Corey Connors in... did he play the... Okay, so he made it to the Tour Championship, finished 26th. We have not seen him since then. He has not played in the entire fall. So that was the end of August. We are in mid-November. So that is almost September, October. That's like 2.5 months ago, right? The good news is, despite not having played since then, he still carries a streak in which he's gained strokes off the tee in like 15 straight events, dating back to the Players Championship. He missed the cut. He lost a stroke off the tee there that week. That was in March. He has not lost strokes off the tee since. He is historically one of the most accurate drivers that we get, 15th in distance from edge of fairway. He doesn't miss a lot of fairways. And when he does, it's by a very small margin. Then you start to look at, okay, can he putt well enough? Well, it's probably a big question, right? He has shown better putting performances at the Renaissance Club, at the Open Championship, at the FedEx St. Jude. He gained strokes putting in those three straight events, and he gave it up a little bit at the BMW Championship and at Eastlake. Now, flip this around and look at what his history is at this golf course. Well, he hasn't played here since 2021, but he played here in 21, 20, 18, and 17. He's not finished worse than T37. He has three top 25 finishes. His best finish was that T10 in 2020. So I think we've got a lot of positives here. I need to run the numbers on guys and, you know, off of a long break, off of a hiatus, off of a, you know, Tour Championship to first event in the fall. I admittedly worry a little bit about that, right? Just, I would like two rounds of competitive golf played before you kind of start backing somebody, but this should be a really good spot for Corey Connors, and he's proven that in his four trips to this event. Go to the power rankings here. You're going to see a couple of items. The $9,000 range is full of hot golfers. So I've got this by the 36 rounds filter here. So Russell Henley, third best player in this field over the last 36 rounds, 1.5 strokes gained per round. Same number for JT Poston. He's 93. And then Eric Cole is $9,000. He's at 1.35. We'll start with Poston here because he is probably my favorite. He is the one that gave us the really big adjusted course fit number. He was number one there. He has been piling up great finishes despite losing strokes off the tee every single week, dating back to the John Deere. But during that stretch where he's lost in seven straight off the tee, he's got a T6, a runner-up, a seventh, a T3. He does not necessarily need to gain strokes off the tee to have a lot of success. And the reason that he loses strokes off the tee, he's a little bit inaccurate, but he is shorter than that. So he usually loses because of the distance, not necessarily a requirement for success here. Wedges and putting, he's phenomenal. The weird part about this, he's got the great course fit. He's probably never played better golf in his life than what he's playing right now, is that he's got five missed cuts and seven trips to this event. Last year, he did finish T21. He gained everywhere but with the putter. Again, a little bit weird. He's always struggled on these greens, which is a little bit bizarre because he's such a great putter and he gains it everywhere. I think there's a chance that Poston kind of pops off here. I think that there's probably not a scenario in which he is going to lose strokes putting like 7 out of 8 trips to a specific golf course, that would be pretty shocking to me. And I think there's a chance that he kind of just snaps back in that spot. And if he plays well in the rest, you know, that tee to green play that we've seen from him, not necessarily needing the distance, but dialing in the rest of it, I think there's a really good chance that he snaps off and has a great week. Russell Henley also just quietly posting these ridiculous, you know, 1.5 strokes gained per round numbers. Now, again, he has not played since the Tour Championship, but his season ended runner up, 6th, 8th, and then he finished T14 at the Tour Championship. His history around this place, not really that good as of late, right? His last 4, he's got 2 missed cuts, a 30th and a 22nd. Before that, it's even better. T6, T4. He's got a lot of ties to the area as well, obviously, as a Georgia Bulldog. But look at this stretch. He has gained from tee to green in every event dating back to Riviera. That was in February. So hard to not like these guys in the 9K range. Probably going to be a situation where going to let ownership dictate a little bit. You know, Alex Noren's been playing some of the best golf of his life. Does he get lost in the mix amongst this really, you know, there's this Sea Island native, right? You're going to hear the Sea Island Mafia. You're going to get a lot of these guys who went to Georgia or Georgia Tech or whatever. They're going to get a lot of run this week. Does Alex Noren, who again, probably playing some of the best golf of his life, or at least in recent years, does he get overlooked? 3rd at TPC Summerlin, runner up in Bermuda. That's his 2 of his last 3 starts. His history here is a 10th and 18th and a missed cut. Hasn't played since 2021. This would be a pretty interesting spot. If everybody's going to want to say, like, are people, does it feel like it's chasing Alex Noren, right? A 3rd and a 2nd. Now he's $9,400, probably the most expensive he's been in, boy. Well, he was 96 he was 96 in Bermuda. So no, it's not even the most expensive he's been, but it is rare that he gets over $9,000. Generally he does pretty well when he gets up there. Oh no, he does. He missed the cut at the Fortinet, $9,000, missed the cut in Mexico, $9,000, TPC Summerlin last year, 9,100, he was T44. So, okay, here you go. PJ National Honda Classic 2022. He was 9,300. He finished T5. He was 9,500 last year here. He missed the cut, or 2 years ago, he missed the cut. So maybe he doesn't play well from out in front with high expectations, but there's really good golf being played by him. And we'll see if we'll see what the general public's going to do. I mean, I think there are. So I'm spending a lot of time on this 9K range because I think it's fascinating. You know, if people are going to buy Connors, Henley, Poston, Eric Cole, who I haven't even talked about. Eric Cole's one of the best players in this field. You know, Alex Noren with 2 top 3 finishes in his last 2 starts. Justin Suh with 2 top 10s in his last 2 starts. Like, these are interesting guys. And what Suh doesn't have, the only thing he doesn't have is good course history around here, right? He finished 66th last year. He lost across the board. It was ugly, but he still found a way to make the cut. He's only missed 1 cut since the Byron Nelson. It's like 16 of his last 17 events. We don't have the strokes gain breakdown from either the Zozo or in Cabo, but the play's been phenomenal. You imagine the putter's back a little bit here. I don't mind running Justin Suh out here as well. So I think there's going to be a lot of chalk, and I think there's going to be a lot of pivot plays in this 9K range. We've talked about basically everybody. I might as well just show you Eric Cole's stat profile here because I pointed him out at the top of the segment. I mean, my God. Hasn't missed a cut since Charles Schwab. He's got one of the longer made cut streaks on tour. He is a great approach player. His putter has heated up at times. He's played here once. He finished 39th last year, and he's got 3 top 4 finishes in his last 4 starts. I mean, it's just, oh boy, I think this is a pretty good game theory range here. You can be on the chalk or you can be on the pivots. And we'll kind of let that figure itself out. We'll have a big conversation about the 9K range on Wednesday on the live chat, 3 p.m. Eastern time, Rick Rungood YouTube channel. I did remember to make the splash contest for this week. So if you want to get involved in that, you just go through the tiers and you pick a golfer from each tier. Noteworthy that Alex Noren falls to tier number 3 here, right? I mean, based on his odds, based on his DraftKings price, falling to tier 3 is a pretty big value. Cam Young is in tier 2, which is going to give people a really interesting decision. Tier 1 is full of like the accurate RSM Sea Island guys. So check it out. There's a link in the description if you want to join. It's a fun little contest every single week. So 8K range here. It's Kuchar down to Alex Smalley. I'm just going to start. I'm kind of going to bounce all over the place here. I'm going to start with Billy Horschel. I think Billy Horschel is very live to win this golf tournament. And that would probably be a shocking statement to say a couple of months ago, but I think it's much more reasonable now. One of the hardest workers that we have on tour, and you can see how he's turned around his stat profile. So very much the most of 2023 outside of, you know, a decent run at the match play, a decent run at the team event. It was a pretty bad year. And you can see that he was losing across the board. But since the 3M Open, and maybe even the Open Championship a little bit, he started to drive it better at the Open Championship. And then he started to put everything together after that, where you're starting to see consistent gains across the board. And the results are following in tow. So a T13 at the TPC Twin Cities 3M Open, a fourth at the Wyndham. Then he goes and plays three straight events on the European Tour. So 45th at the Irish Open, 18th at Wentworth, the BMW PGA Championship, and T20 at the French Open. Again, if you're not using rickrungood.com, you don't have access to European Tour data and the strokes gain metrics, you've missed out on Billy Horschel's last three starts, and they're pretty good statistically. So now he's got a run of four straight measured events in which he's gained at least four strokes from tee to green. When he combines the great tee to green play with an always good putter, he is a very high upside golfer. His history around here, he hasn't played since 2019. He missed the cut in 2019. So it's been 4 years. Then before that, it was 3 years between playing again. 2016, he finished runner up, played in 2012, and he played in 2011. So he's played four times over the last dozen years. You can probably forget all of that, right? Just look at what he's done recently and know that when Billy's playing well, he can win golf tournaments all over the globe. I think that that's clear. And he's done that enough in his career to get me excited at like 40-1 and $8,400. So that's an interesting one right there, just based on the way that he's been playing as of late. I've been saying for a couple of weeks that Adam Svensson is going to win this event again. And I still feel pretty good about that. You know, I would have liked to have seen a little bit more life, the Zozo Championship where he finished T41, a little bit more life in Cabo where he finished T45, but he has now made every cut this fall. He's made every cut dating back to the Travelers Championship. His ball striking numbers are back. He's gained in every single event from the John Deere Classic to TPC Summerlin, where we have the breakdown. He might've done it again at Zozo and Cabo. We don't have those numbers, the putting numbers. I mean, it's all here. It is all here. Look at this giant block of green digits and tell me that his game is not where it needs to be to win this golf tournament. I think it absolutely is. Obviously he's won this event before, and then missed three cuts before that, which is kind of a wild little accomplishment, but yes, I'll be in on Svensson. I've been setting that up for probably 3 or 4 weeks now. Brendan Todd, I think, is interesting. So Brendan Todd is one of these golfers that gets a lot of run, if I can spell his name correctly, a couple of times a year. And he got a lot of run at, you know, Bermuda, right? Because he had the really great Fortinet. And you're like, oh, Bermuda, this is like a great spot for him. It's a short golf course, et cetera, et cetera. He finished T20. It's a pretty good result. But there will be a swath of people who now just dispose of Brendan Todd again under the assumption, well, he didn't win, right? Well, he is still high upside, capable of contending. He is still playing well. He's still one of the most accurate drivers on planet Earth. He's still one of the best putters. If you look at his history around the RSM Classic, it should probably be a little bit better than this, but he finished fourth in 2019. He's missed his last two cuts. And I just don't see a scenario in which last week in Bermuda should dictate what you do with Brendan Todd this week. If you liked him last week, you should probably like him again. If you didn't like him last week, sure, don't worry about it. But a T20 is a well above average result for someone that everybody was very excited about and now will probably just throw to the wolves. I kind of feel similar with Akshay. $8,100, you get a very steep discount now, right? He was over $10,000 last week and he finished T20. Which is, again, a positive result, right? I know he was one of the favorites, but a T20, based on all the average results, is pretty good. He gained six strokes to the field over four rounds. So he continues to play great golf. This golf course might not be as good for him. He's missed the cut and finished 45th in his two trips, but they date back to 2019. So I agree with the sentiment that this is probably not a great golf course for him, but I still think there's a lot of unknowns about Akshay. He's fairly accurate, 41st in driving accuracy, 43rd in distance from edge of fairway. He scores a ton. He's using that you know, new, I think it's the new Odyssey. They just released the new, I think it's called End One or AI One or something like that. I think he's using that with the counterbalance with the long super stroke. And I think it's been very positive for his game. So I'd just be buying talent here on Akshay at $8,100. And before I move on, I wanted to point this out. So the trends tool here, Adam Svensson, the guy that I've been chattering a lot about this week, is in the optimal quadrant of this tool. Basically what that says is if he continues to hit the ball from tee to green as he is right now, and he gets back to his putting baseline, there is room for what I call like bounce back opportunities, right? So you want to be in that upper left-hand quadrant. Other guys that are in there along with Svensson, they're a little bit cheaper. Brent Grant, Justin Lauer, Nico Echeverria, Harrison Endicott, Chad Ramey, Callum Tarran, those guys that are on the good, not the great side, the good quadrant, Ludvig, Matty Schmid, Max McGreevy, Davis Thompson, guys that are again, certainly live. And then you can see who's on the worst side of things here. Taylor Montgomery's in a bad spot. Hayden Buckley's in a bad spot. Dylan Wu in a really bad spot. Cam Young, Danny McCarthy, even in a suboptimal quadrant, which is a little bit concerning. But if you like that, it's a cool little thing to look at. So the 7K range here has a couple of those names. Let's start at I got so many here. So let's start with Chesson Hadley, because I want to give a shout out here to how hot he has been. So Chesson Hadley is one of the hotter players that we have right now. So he has not missed a cut since John Deere Classic. He has back-to-back seventh place finishes in Las Vegas and at the Cabo event, El Cardinal. So this fall, he's gone 62nd, 35th, 7th, 7th. That has been his fall with really high upside approach play. There are not many golfers in this field that are capable of gaining 5, 7, 8 strokes on approach. He has done that each, right? One of each of those in his last 6 measured starts. And we don't know what he did in Cabo because that's a non-measured event. The putter can always get hot, and he's got plenty of history around this event. I didn't say it was good history, right? It's actually shockingly bad. His best finish is a T23 in 2020, and he misses a lot of cuts. If you're willing to kind of get past that and look at what he's done recently, it's pretty darn good. He's $7,900. Davis Thompson. I am blue in the face on Davis Thompson at this point, because I've been pointing him out nearly every single week for a long time, because this stat profile is about as good as you're going to get from a golfer who's $7,800 this week. Phenomenal tee to green play, improved putting, results are following. That is 5 straight top 35s, with 3 of them being top 22s, and really, really good stat profile. 3 missed cuts here in a row. Again, I think he has taken a leap from being his first year on tour, now getting his feet underneath him. I think you're seeing a lot of maturation in Davis Thompson's game right now. Also, I should probably look this up before I say it. I think he was a Georgia Bulldog. Not that I really care about this, but I think he was a Georgia Bulldog. I'm now going to look it up and see if I've embarrassed myself. He was Georgia Bulldog. Whew, dodged a bullet there. What else do we have in this range? Probably out on Cam Champ, probably out on Taylor Montgomery, although Montgomery's showing life this fall, just like he did last fall, but that stat profile is terrifying. Probably out on Cam Champ. Again, I don't think this is a particularly great set up for him. Camilo Villegas, I was wrong. Hat tip to you. I said if he goes out and plays well last week off of a runner-up finish and no good form before that, I'm going to tip my hat and not be part of it. Hat tip, and I am not part of it. Congratulations to Camilo. All right. I think the obvious value here, we saw it on the trends tool. Here's Matty Schmid, very high on the positive quadrant. The power rankings, Matty Schmid, 8th best player in the field over the last 36 rounds, $7,500. We talked a lot about him last week as well. Again, not to be confused with Matty Schwab. So now we are putting together a profile of Matty Schmid, where he's got the runner-up at the Andalusia Masters, a third-place finish in Bermuda. That's in each of his last 3 starts. His last 4 have been very, very good. The metrics, the advanced metrics, are showing him to be a very good ball striker and an adequate putter. Missed the cut here last year at $6,600. He is contending. He's playing well. This is too low. this is too low, right? I mean, we just talked about, he's the eighth best player in this field over the last 36 rounds. He cannot be priced at $7,500. He cannot be. I've spent a lot of time talking about Taylor Pendrith. I've spent a lot of time talking about Vince Whaley. They both continue to pay great dividends. What I love about Taylor Pendrith, and I'll try not to get too crazy here, is he is starting to play well on golf courses that you might not think he's going to play well on, right? So pretty big difference between Cabo and Bermuda. He goes 15th and 8th. There are some similarities to Las Vegas, where he finished 3rd. He has played this event each of the last 2 years. He's finished 26th and 15th. He is an incredibly talented golfer who has a lot of skills, a lot of power. He's the modern golfer, and he's starting to put everything together. I think that's really interesting. I won't bother you with more of a deep dive than that. Vince Whaley, similar stuff. Hits a lot of fairways, hits a lot of greens, gives himself a lot of opportunities. He's got 4 top 28 finishes in his last 5 starts, including an 8th place finish last week. I won't bother you with more chatter about those guys. What I will do is I'm going to go to the Holy Grail here, and I'm just going to fire up like the last 6 rounds at the RSM Classic and find the best players in this field, because I know we are going to get a little bit of Webb Simpson action here, I imagine. Yeah, there's Webb Simpson, 20 rounds, 1.92 strokes gained per round. Again, I might just tip my hat to Webb if he comes out and plays well this week. You know, he's basically semi-retired at this point, and you know, he showed up at Wyndham, which is obviously a great spot for him. Played well at the Valspar, but in between that, it's a lot of missed cuts. It's a lot of poor play. I'm not necessarily going to assume that there's going to be this magic here this week. Also looking for guys that are, have at least a little bit of a decent sample size. We're not down to the $6,900 range yet, but Will Gordon has got 2 top 15 finishes in his last 3 trips down here. Here's Taylor Pendrith is, you know, that's 8 rounds for him. He's gaining 1.3 strokes per round. Just kind of looking for guys in that $7,000 range. Neesmith, he loves the Southeast, doesn't he? 14th, 15th, 29th, and a missed cut in 14 rounds there. Just kind of seeing if anything else pops up here. Ben Griffin, God, I can't get away from this guy. $7,500, 6 rounds, 3/4 of a stroke per round. Anybody else in this 7K range that I think? Oh, Nate Lashley. Nate Lashley has been low-key pretty darn good. You know, you look at, let's see what he's been up to here. 10th in Cabo, last time we saw him. Very positive approach play. Decent off the tee, which has not always been the thing for him. Good enough putter. I mean, listen, he's trying to put it together. He shows that he can gain in all categories some weeks. Relies more on the ball striking, relies more on the tee to green play. But this is a pretty good stretch for him, where a bunch of top 40s, including a highlight in Cabo with a 10th place finish there. He's made 4 of his 5 cuts here. I've seen worse. The 6K range, I kind of alluded that we kind of have to take Will Gordon a little bit seriously, right? So, I mean, another very talented golfer who is accurate enough for his length, because he's longer than most guys. Very, very talented, very, very powerful. He's now put 2 good starts together with the Zozo and in Cabo, 21st and 15th, and he's got those 2 top 15s in his last 3 trips here. I think we have to start taking that a little bit seriously. Carson Young is on the verge of being the best Young in this field. I'm exaggerating a little bit. I'm being facetious, but there is a lot of upside in this guy. 9th place finish in Cabo, T19 at the Fortinet, T15 at the Travelers last year. That was an elevated event. A lot more volatile than a lot of his peers here, and he's just horrid around the greens. But we're starting to see a little bit of improvement. I mean, he's a pretty good putter in general. As long as he doesn't give it up around the greens, he should be okay. He's $6,900. He is only, well, I'll save it. I've got a nugget of Cam Young versus Carson Young that's in my email newsletter for this week, which is 100% free. Subscribe to it. It'll be delivered on Tuesday morning. RickRungood.com/newsletter. There's a link in the description. There's a little bit of a deeper dive on Carson Young there. So we've got Will Gordon there. Grayson Murray. So again, if you're only looking at PGA Tour stuff, you're missing out on a lot of these guys, because Grayson Murray has been playing primarily, or at least mostly, on the Korn Ferry Tour. He won in September. He won the Simmons Bank Open in September. He played well at the Barbasol, played well at the John Deere, 2 top 10s there. He won again in May on the Korn Ferry Tour. So he has one, two, three, four, five events on either the PGA Tour or the Korn Ferry Tour since May, in which he's gained at least 10 strokes to the field. That's a lot. Okay. It's a lot. Very high upside golfer to be at this price with two trophies on the mantle since May. You're probably not going to find anybody else. Trying to look off the top of my head, anybody else who's got two trophies in this range from May on any tour. If I'm wrong, let me know, put it in the chat, but I think that's pretty fair to say. Then what I'll probably do is, you know, fire up some flyers down here. Kramer Hickok, a pair of top 15s. This should be a good spot for him. Austin Cook has parlayed like 8 really good rounds together. He's played well at times at this event. $6,700. I'd be taking flyers on him. Kadira, again, if it's an accuracy kind of wedge fest thing, that works out for Kadira, 13th and 12th in his last two starts. That would be pretty interesting. So just kind of lumping a lot of these guys together and seeing if I can find a little bit of lightning in a bottle. Not super thrilled about any of these other guys here. Okay, let's run a model and see what we can find here. So custom model, rickrungood.com. All right, what do we want to do here? I definitely need to do, some type of accuracy, right? So let's call it 15 on, let's call it 15 on accuracy and 5 on good drive percentage, which is basically, it's kind of like distance from edge of fairway, right? It's like, are you hitting the green or fringe or hitting the fairway? Are you giving yourself a chance to hit the green is basically what it says. So let's go 20 there. And then I do think we're just going to just like fire up. Okay. So let's do strokes gained approach for last. Let's get hot golfers, 12, 15 there. Then let's do, give me some high upside guys. So we'll put 4 on strokes gained, 3 or more strokes gained, 4 more strokes gained, 5 or more. That's 12 there. I want a little bit on around the green play. Last 36 rounds around the green and then putting, we could do Bermuda putting. We could do bonus putting. We could do, let's do 10 on Bermuda putting and then just 10 on strokes gained putting last. Again, let's stay with the hot guys, right? Let's stay with the hot guys last 12 rounds. Course history, I think we need. So we'll go to Sea Island, which is in alphabetical order, put 10 there. And then we've got 13 left. Let's do fantasy points gained. My number one golfer is, sure, Russell Henley. Matt Kuchar, 2. Ludwig, 3. Of course, Webb Simpson is 4. I hate everything about that, but God, he is like, oh my God, he's like top 35 in all these categories. Zach Johnson, Harris English, Billy Horschel, Ben Griffin, who I can't avoid, Adam Long, Adam Svensson is my top 10. That is only one $10,000 golfer. It's Ludwig. A lot of like, yeah, obviously accuracy types of guys that are going to try to play out of the fairway. It's like all the shorties inaccurate guys. Denny is 11. Camilo is 12. Harmon, Todd, Matty Schmidt. I mean, there's a lot. I do think there is a lot of value in this field, right? I mean, the way that I'm modeling this is a ton of guys in the 7K and 8K range. So it makes me think that there is a lot of value here. You know, if I just run, like, I bet you I could run, don't use any of these lines, but 10 lineups, 10% randomness. I want to see, it's building lineups, 48,500, 49.2, 49.2, 49.5, 49.6, 49.5, 48.6. And that's just in the, like the top 10 that it made with a little bit of randomness involved. I think you can be pretty happy in those ranges. I don't think you necessarily need to get up to the max. I don't even know if you necessarily need to be in the 10K range. I think there are some pretty interesting builds that are leaving $1,500 on the table because there is so much value in this field. So I've got a lot more lineups to build. I've got a lot of stuff to figure it out, but that's pretty telling. That was my hunch. And then also the modeling, really loved those 7 and 8K guys, not necessarily living up at the top of the board. So we'll see. Okay. Sign up for the newsletter, sign up for rickrungood.com. I'll see you guys on Wednesday or I'll see you on Tuesday if you're going to be in Vegas and hanging around. Best of luck this week and I'll talk to you guys soon.